be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Klipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Klipp.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Well, today we're going to do something a bit different. I'm going to talk about my houses. Over the years, I've used my houses kind of as a place to experiment and try things out. And to work on my philosophies about how, you know, to make a house into a home and how a home can strengthen your relationships and make life better. This is a bit different. If you go to my website at the same time you're listening to this and go to StephenKlippArchitecture.com, all one word with no caps, StephenKlippArchitecture.com. You'll see on their portfolio. Go to the portfolio, and there's about 10 houses shown on it. Press on the word Klipp, and that will pull up my house in Chapel Hill. All that you'll see there are parts that have been renovated, and I've talked to you a lot about how a house is an investment and how you buy low and sell high and how, like any investment, you make a good one, good investment, or you make a bad one. We looked for about a year to find a house that we liked. And we were looking for something that was undervalued on the market, and because of flaws that I could identify and it could be fixed. I've seen houses where there are flaws that can't be fixed, and those aren't a good investment. But the ones that can be easily fixed can, you know, lead to a good low buy and a good investment. And that's what we did on our house in Chapel Hill. We found it, and it had been on the market for 2 years. It was a kind of cold contemporary. And we watched it drop in price. And finally, after the second selling season, we made an offer on it that was very low ball. And the people took it. We ended up buying the house for, as the appraiser said, we probably got it for the price of the land because it was a really nice golf course front lot. That's an important thing, is you look at what are the underlying intrinsic value of a property. And in this case, it was a really nice golf course front lot and a house that had good bones. As I said, it was contemporary, which a lot of people don't like, and it was cold and unfriendly. I can fix cold and unfriendly. before I get into my house, I just had an experience that was essentially the opposite of this. I went with some clients and we looked at a house that is beautiful. It is a great house. It's a well-done, Frank Lloyd Wright prairie-style contemporary, and just with beautiful detailing. In fact, when it was built 20 years ago, I think it won an award, and it definitely was written up in the magazine. So a beautiful house. And went and looked at it. They've already made an offer on the house and I think are buying it. But it's selling for much less than what I would think it would. Part of that's the economy right now. Part of it is this is a beautiful house, and it should be an $800,000 house easily. And I know when it was built 20 years ago, that much money was spent on it. However, the people had built it in the backyard of their old house, so they took a decent-sized lot and subdivided it in half, which meant it's on a small lot crammed in between other existing houses. And it also, when you look at the houses around it, it's an $800,000 house in a neighborhood of $400,000 houses. That's a flaw that is very hard to overcome. First, from the point of view is people don't want to pay more than the neighboring houses. And second, from the point of view that the appraisers, if you're getting a loan, the banks appraise based upon what has sold recently in the same neighborhood. And those comparables would be very low. So this is a house that should be a beautiful $800,000 house. And they'll be lucky to sell for $600,000. That's when I talk to you about the house is an investment. There are things that make an investment intrinsically good and things that make an investment intrinsically bad. And this is one where the core issue that made it an intrinsically bad investment for the builder, first person who owned it. For the second person, it's a great house. Well worth what they're paying for it. So the discount was paid by the original builder, by the original owner. Now, back to my house. Okay, I bought this house almost 20 years ago, and over the next 12 years, we did 6 major renovations on the house. Every time My wife would walk into a room and say, okay, Steve, what can we do with this room? And I would answer her. And as soon as I answered her and told her how that room could be improved, well, now we had to go ahead and do it. So we did 6 major projects in 12 years. The first one was when we bought the house, a major flaw to the house. There's something I really love about it, and it also is a flaw. I really love that from the street, it's hard to see the house and because we have woods in front, and even when you drive up to it, you can only see about half of the house. So I really love it that people underestimate the house. That's the opposite of what most people feel. Most people want their house to look more impressive than it is. I really like having a house that people underestimate. But part of that was that the main thing you saw when you drove up was a garage, and there wasn't a single window in the house that look towards the street. If you've heard my previous talks, I've talked about how important it is and what a great thing it is to get windows to look towards the street, especially kitchen windows, so that you can look out and see what's going on in your neighborhood, and you can become part of the neighborhood. Well, this was a house that was completely closed off from the neighborhood, and that was a flaw. And it was one of the flaws that probably cost it a lot, what went from the people who sold it to me. So the first thing I did is I changed the garage into a family room. And you'll look on my website, and you'll see that family room, the picture of that family room. It has a lot of the things I talked to you about what works in a family room happened in this one. First of all, if you look, there's a two-sided fireplace in there that is in a wall of stone. We went out and we found, drove around, looked at stone walls, stonework, and we kept finding this one guy whose work we liked. So we tracked him down and got him to come in and do the stonework. And so you've got the fireplace, two-sided, in this wall of stone, with a big hearth that extends out in front of it and runs to the side wall. As I've talked to you before, then the TV sits on top of that hearth, and even a great big TV becomes just an object on the hearth. So I've talked about this fight between the TV and the fireplace for dominance. Here's how you make a fireplace clearly dominant over the TV. What's really nice also is that I then took that stone hearth and I wrapped it around the corner for another 8 feet. And I did that whole wall of bookcases. I love bookcases. I love books. That whole effect, though, it really has a great effect. And tying the stone and then the books, it gives that kind of studious feel and also very friendly and warm and comfortable. A couple of other things that happen. One neat thing I think I've talked to you about is the idea of contrast. In that same room, you have this big stone fireplace that then wraps into a wall of bookcases. Contrasting that, I've got two walls of windows. So where before the house had no windows facing the street, now I have two walls of windows facing the street. And that contrast, that it gives attention and it gives a dynamic to the room, which is really neat and really works well. When we come back from the break, I'll tell you more about my family room.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Tune in to the Empowered Healer Show with Dr. Susan Allison. Our program will help you to heal yourself, support those around you, and enhance your work and your relationships. Healing can be physical, emotional, or spiritual, and it can be personal or collective for the healing of our planet. Dr. Allison and her guests will offer methods of healing that will go beyond your life and reach the lives of others. Tune in to the Empowered Healer Show. Airing live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel.
Are you struggling to find hope in the middle of adversity? How confident are you in dealing with your life challenges? Do you realize you have the ability to overcome your obstacles? You'll want to tune in to Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities. Louise will speak to inspiring guests who have helped others or managed to overcome the roadblocks that stood in the way of their life's success. Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities broadcasts live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Welcome back. When we bought the house, the kitchen, kind of isolated. It was a kitchen and a breakfast room, kind of isolated from the rest of the house. In fact, the family room, probably four rooms away from the kitchen. Obviously a bad situation that doesn't work. When we converted the garage into a family room, the garage was right next to the kitchen. And by making it into the family room, now we've got that situation that I talked about where the kitchen and the family room commute with each other. You know, as is mostly the case, the garage floor was down a little bit from the house, and I left it down, which meant we had the other situation I talked about that is really neat, is instead of raising the ceiling, lowering the floor. So the family room is down three steps from the kitchen. And you naturally stand in the kitchen and you look out over the family room. One of the neat things, and you can see it in the picture, is that the ceiling in the family room is flat. And it's there in the family room, it's about 9.5 feet tall. But then as it transitions over the steps into the breakfast area, the informal dining, it becomes 8 foot. As one long, expansive 35-foot ceiling. What's really neat is when it gets to the kitchen, it jumps up to 10.5 feet. So the kitchen, as I think I've talked about in another show, to give the kitchen extra height is really nice and makes it special. Then at the top of that ceiling, where it jumped up, I put in a bank of three skylights. Remember, you always put in odd numbers. So three skylights, not two skylights, or not four. And the kitchen then is just flooded with light. So a lot of neat things happening there. Talked about the kitchen opening up to the family room. And you can just see the pictures how there's an island in the kitchen that is wood-topped rather than tile like the rest of the kitchen. An island that is just for sitting and eating or talking with the cook. If you make it wood, it's really comfortable to rest your elbows on and really friendly to sit there. If you make it in granite or some other surface, hard surface, first of all, it's hard. And if it's granite, it's also cold. So it's not nearly as friendly to sit there and rest your elbows on and enjoy, you know, socializing in the space. Now, if you look at another find on that same clip house pictures, find the one of the screen porch. The screen porch on this house, when we bought the house, there wasn't a screen porch. there really wasn't any good outdoor space. And we wanted one. We wanted one between the house and the golf course. So we built a screen porch. Same thing as in the family room. We set it down two steps from the breakfast area. So that, again, as you look out, the floor of the screen porch is dropped. That opens up the view that much more. Because of the configuration of the space, I really had to use, I felt it was right to use a shed roof for this screen porch. I was very concerned about closing down the view, though. So I raised it up just as tall as I could possibly get, that shed roof, and as small of an angle, roof slope, as I could possibly get. All to make sure that the view out to the golf course, the view through the screen porch, was just as big as possible. Mistake made often with screen porches is to put a shed roof on and it shuts down the view. So raise the roof up as high as possible. And then, because this is a big screen porch, it's 16 feet deep by 24 feet long, which means it has both the sitting area and the dining area. But because it's so big, obviously it blocks any light getting into the rooms behind it. The informal dining room, in this case, and the dining room. So I put two huge skylights in there. And they then bring light to the back of the porch and bring light into the room. Probably the neatest thing I did on this porch, I told you my house I used to experiment with things, is that between the breakfast room and the porch, I put in three French doors and hinged them so that all three doors can open up. And you've got the whole outside wall of the breakfast room has now opened up to the screen porch. It's a terrific idea. There are systems like NanoWall and Panda that do this, but they do it at a cost of about $4,000 or $5,000 a panel, which meant that that three-door system there, you know, would have cost probably $15,000. I did it for under $4,000. And it's just figuring out how informally to hinge the doors and to make it work. And I got a really neat effect for very little money. This is a lot of what you can do in architecture, is getting really neat effects without spending a lot of money. So what else is great about this porch? Well, if you look out there, it really is very enclosed. The walls of the house on either side come out, so the porch really only has one wall open to the outdoors. I pushed it out enough so that the wall to the left extends out 6 feet past the wall of the house, and that means that the porch turns the corner, the screening turns the corner. If you get a piece of a wall, then your mind reads it as that's not a wall that's open. So I've got, even though barely, I've got two open walls of screening on this porch that's really landlocked. A neat thing is that the walls of the house on the right-hand side, that was an all-glass corner. And even though it's all glass and you actually look through part of the living room, it still reads as open. So this porch that is really landlocked is reading as very open. A porch benefits greatly from having a strong visual structure. And if you look at this porch, it has a strong visual structure. There are big beams to hold up the roof. and those big beams, really neat, are caught between slender columns, double columns. That's a really neat effect that I haven't seen anywhere else, but structurally it works, and it makes that outside wall. One thing that you want to do on screen porches is you want to make the outside walls just as ephemeral as possible. You want to make them disappear as much as possible. And this is a really neat way to do it, with these slender 2x6 columns catching and framing the big beams. Then, of course, there's a tongue and groove wood ceiling, which gives texture to the porch and makes it a lot, you know, a lot more interesting. Same time, look down at the floor. We were low to the ground, so I did a concrete slab floor right on the ground, and then I acid stained it. Acid staining is acid put down on the concrete to stain it and give it color. You know, they're using it a lot now in restaurants and car dealerships and, you know, commercial buildings, but it gives really neat color, and it's pretty cheap, and quite durable. So that's another neat technique. Then, if you'll notice, as you're looking at the picture, notice my showpiece, my visual draw. This is the fireplace. It is something I've started to do on porches. I did it really first on my own to put a real wood-burning fireplace out there. I built it custom out of brick and opened up two sides so that it's as open as possible to the screen porch. What's neat is that this is a concrete floor, which means I can build a big fire in there and have it roaring away, and it's safe. It's completely surrounded by concrete. They've got this big fireplace with a big back wall reflecting the heat into the porch. And above it, again, you want the outside wall to be as ephemeral as possible. There's just a relatively slender pipe going up through the roof. There's another house on my website, the Colrick House, where I did the same thing, only this was a gas fireplace. I didn't even need to put a flue in because it was so open, and gas keeps a relatively low heat. When I come back, we'll talk about the master bedroom.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Is your computer making your life easier or more of a headache? Are you using all of the tools to make your life more productive and less of a stress? You need to listen to the Microsoft Princess Insider with Melanie Goss, dubbed the Microsoft Princess. Melanie has been a certified expert in all things Microsoft since 1998, and her expertise will have you taking back control of your life and letting your computer handle the efficiency of day-to-day projects. The Microsoft Princess Insider airs live every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
News. Opinion. Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788 Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to cliparch@yahoo.com. That's CLIPPARCH at yahoo.com. Now, back to winning the dream home race.
Hi, welcome back. I hope as you're listening to me talk about my house that you're also looking at my website and looking at the pictures of it. That combination, I think, really, and you know, let you see the things I'm talking about and how you could apply them possibly to your home. When I bought the house, I told you it had flaws. One big flaw was the master bedroom felt like it was a room at the Holiday Inn. It's just a box with windows only on one side and nothing. Holiday Inn. So when the kids were teenagers, we finally built our master suite and added a little bit of space, but mostly just used the space that was already there. Now, we had three teenage kids and two jobs, and life was rocking and rolling far faster than, you know, than I can believe today. So the master suite, really, the concept is a Zen-like retreat, a calm place where we can get away from the kids, and as I talked in my first show, Romancing the Home, a place that really would bring us closer together and give us time to be alone together in this rocking and rolling household. If you look at the picture, the first picture that starts in the bed area, you'll see the big thing with this master suite is that there are no separate rooms. To the left, you've got a bay window sitting alcove, and that flows right into the sleeping chamber where you can see that beautiful wrought iron bed that my wife found at an antique auction. And then it flows right into this intermediate bay window space and then into the dressing room. So this flow of space, instead of having separate rooms, you've got one space that flows one into another, and you can stand and look 40 feet through the spaces to the other side, and then it leases out glass. This is a wonderfully big open space for a master bedroom. And I even have some techniques that make it even more so. All the corners are rounded in the gypsum board. But in this space, there are no 90-degree corners separating areas. 90-degree corners, the fine areas, cut them off. So every dividing wall between areas here is done with 45-degree angle, so that instead of dividing you, the 45-degree angles kind of allow you to slip from one space into another. Like I said, really, really cool. And something that I think, you know, can be duplicated. Let's see, then there are other tricks to it. When you look into the dressing room, I don't think of it as a bathroom. It's really a dressing room and a room, genuine room space. The sinks are hidden from the sleeping area so that I would go to bed much later than my wife, and I could go in and turn on the light at the sink, and almost none of that would bleed into the sleeping area. This is, if you can achieve it, that's another really great idea. then you're looking into that dressing room. The soaking tubs or the whirlpools that you put in the bathroom, the biggest value of those, they aren't used that much. The biggest value is kind of you open up the space. In this case, you see that I made a whole bay of windows to put that whirlpool tub in. It's actually an air jet tub. But then mitigate it to visually lessen the effect of that thing, because it's a big item. I sunk it a foot into the floor. So now instead of a big item sticking up there, it's low at sea height and much softer. The whole idea in this whole thing is a zen-like calm, a softness of materials. Everything is a variation of tans, browns, earth tones with that fluffy white rug as contrast. I've talked about the whole idea of contrast in spaces. The other thing with that bay window around the tub is you can buy, Hunter Douglas has these shades that pull up from the bottom, which means that you can have the effect of that being a whole bay of glass, and then you pull up the shades from the bottom to the point where you're comfortable. You know, you feel your modesty is protected. So just the area above that, the glass is open, but you read the whole bay as being glass and sunlight filled. There's a big chair in there. Talked about this, the idea of getting ready in the morning or getting ready, say, for a party is very important time for a couple. It's one of the few times where they can be alone together in a relaxed setting while they're parallel getting something accomplished. Well, it's such a great thing to sit there in that chair and just relax and be with my wife as she's getting ready for a party. So I'm a big advocate of having a comfortable chair in the dressing room. The shower and the toilet, I think of these as the wet area. They are the dirty function of a bathroom. So I put them off in their own side compartment. That does two things. One is a toilet should always be in its own compartment. A shower should always be where it preserves modesty and makes you feel safe. So by putting those off in the side compartment, you can have that functional area of the bathroom isolated. And that makes the rest of the bathroom into this wonderful dressing area, sitting room. One neat thing there is I actually put a skylight in the shower. And for 8 months out of the year, that skylight is open. We're in North Carolina. But as long as it doesn't get below freezing, that skylight can be open. And you can shower listening to the birds outdoors. Caveat there is you want to, that's a steam shower, and you want to have a shower that you can seal tightly, and as that one seals. Then what? Well, I don't have closets. If you look, the dressing room just kind of blends into two closet areas that are not rooms, you know, closed off, cramped places. They're actually dressing spaces in themselves. I have a dresser in my closet. I can step in there and completely get dressed right in that space. And it's a little room that's mine. And my wife has a little room that's hers. And beyond that, we've got a cedar closet, which is another great thing, especially in the South with moths. To have a cedar closet to isolate your clothes that you don't wear off in order to need more protection. When we come back, I'll tell you about Brown Bear Lodge, my house in the mountains.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
What are the benefits to combining modern science with ancient healing practices? For the answers, you'll want to tune into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. Each week, our program focuses on ways to live more holistically. By developing new ways of looking at our world, we can find ways to foster harmony and peace for the good of mankind and our planet. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Tune into Frame of Mind, Saturdays at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave Network.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Have you ever wanted to ask a direct question to a private investigator? If so, you'll want to listen for the Private Eye Nightline with private investigator John Siakio. John and his guest experts will answer your questions about infidelity, drug issues, custody, restraining orders, and more. Sometimes there are sensitive issues involving a family member or other loved one. We're here to help. The Private Eye Nightline is broadcast live every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's clipark@yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Welcome back. Now, as I hope you are, if you're on my website at the same time, look for, it's either called, on the portfolios, it's either called Brown Bear Lodge or BR Cliff. I'm not sure which is on there. And click on that name and call it up. My wife and I fell in love with Blowing Rock, and our dream was to build, was to have a little cabin up there where we could, well, retire partially, but also just to get away and get away from work and get away from everything. We spent 5 years looking. It took us 5 years to find a lot that was both in-town Blowing Rock, where we could walk to Main Street, and also on the Gorge View. And very difficult, very difficult if you're trying to find one that is in our price range. But we did a little tiny, 0.3-acre lot that I could just barely squeeze a cabin on for us. But the result is Brown Bear Lodge. Now, if you look at those pictures, go to the one of the front entrance. And that, to me, is this is what I was trying to achieve. It's, if you look at it, it's got this big arch cave-like arch of stone and framing the entrance. And inside there is a circle-top door, a nice, strong circle-top door, and Socrates. Socrates is the name of the bear who guards the front entrance. And he's about my size. So that gives you an idea of the size of the entry porch. And, you know, the whole idea of Brown Bear Lodge was kind of whimsical. It's how to build the quintessential mountain cabin. How to make it, you know, kind of fairy tale like. We use as a model the Adirondack lodges, and how to make it really cozy. But also, we're spending a lot of money, and how to make it an impressive home that would be worth what we were investing in it. So, if you look at this front entrance, it's really neat. They talk about green building. Well, the stone that surrounds that front entrance was actually picked up off the mountainside within 10 miles of this cabin. And an old guy goes out there with his flatbed and just loads up with stone off the side of the mountain. That's called blowing rock stone. We used a heavy timber frame in here, and that too was done within about 12 miles from the cabin is the factory that mills the heavy timbers. And what you see on the walls there is poplar bark. Back 100 years ago, even the grand hotels around Blowing Rock were sheathed in chestnut bark, and it will last forever. The chestnuts all died out from a disease, and now they've found that they can do the same thing with poplar bark. So that's what the walls are. As you go into the house and pull up one of the pictures of the great room, it's a cabin. The cabin has one room, and that room is the main sitting area, the dining area, the kitchen, all flowing together. The whole idea of a vacation house really should be bringing people together and not pulling them apart. And I see so many, especially the really big, expensive vacation houses, where they divide it up. And, you know, the great room isn't connected to the kitchen. People aren't brought together. They're pulled apart. That's digressing. Anyway, this is a simple one-room cabin. And I really tried. When I looked at it later, it was like, wow, I threw everything I could think of at this cabin. First of all, I wanted it to be timber framed, as you can see. But the problem with most timber framing is the ceiling gets really high, and the timbers have to be so close together that they kind of, they're overpowering. So what I did was I designed a timber truss that is both a bit more whimsical, and at the same time, with the iron bar providing the tension member, it's a lot more open than your normal timber truss. And then I lowered it all down so that the walls are 10 feet, and the middle of the ceiling, 16 feet. So, you know, this is a big room and heavy timber, but is not hugely high. It's warm. It's comfortable. I've been in there right before Christmas one year where it was 5 degrees above zero, and the wind was howling. It sounded like a, you know, one of these horror films. The wind was howling around the house, and it was just so warm and comfortable in there. Part of it is the whole house is made of wood. There's no gypsum board in the house. And, you know, I wanted that, but all kinds of neat details. First, fireplace. The fireplace should be huge. It should be the dominating feature in the house, in the cabin. And, you know, did that. I told the masons I wanted big stone, and I almost got it. I got medium-sized stone when I was trying for big. But if you look at the hearth in this case, it kind of floats above the floor. It's about 4 inches above the floor. And it is a single slab, 10 feet long, 6 inches thick of stone. And that's really neat. In fact, they had another one in there that was smaller, and I made them take it out and put in the bigger one. That's because the effect is so great. As you're looking at the fireplace, it's really neat. Of course, I'm an architect, so I had to put a tower in. And the stairs you see wrapping behind the fireplace, those are the stairs up to the tower. And that tower is my office up in the mountains. Just playing, I put a little window up there. I can open that up and, you know, as I'm up there working, I can still participate in what's going on in the cabin. And even from there, the kitchen is just behind you. You know, call out and communicate with someone in the kitchen. Boy, we're almost out of time. I really want to show you all about this cabin, and you're just going to have to listen in another time you're just going to have to listen another time and let me tell you about this cabin and the wonderful things you can do with wood and just with imagination. See you next week.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.